good morning, everybody. I'm here today talking with Celia Hogan, who is the founder of Little Kiwis Nature Play and is an educational specialist in natural education. And so I'm really delighted to be talking with you today, Celia, and thank you so much for taking the time. I wonder if you'd like to just give us a bit of a broader picture about who you are, how you got to be doing the fabulous work that you're doing.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me. It's really nice to be here. My background comes back to my childhood. And, you know, I wasn't that kid who thrived in school environments. I was the kid who loved being outdoors and playing. I was lucky enough when I was 15 to go on the Spirit of Adventure. And that kind of opened my eyes up to see that actually there were also jobs in that kind of area. I grew quite a lot through that as well. I then went on to study outdoor education and teaching. And yeah, I was amazed at how much I grew personally as an individual, as well as, you know, mastering different skills and different outdoor pursuits. But the other part of that was just being outdoors and how it made me feel. Like I was just able to go, gosh, this is a place where I feel like I can be myself. And so that was kind of like the starting of what took me on my kind of career, so to speak. Career-wise, yeah, I've worked in the outdoors as outdoor instructor. I've worked and run polytechnic programs for outdoor and adventure leadership. I've worked in tourism. But one of the key themes that's kind of come through is working with young people to help them see that they can be and do more than they think they can. So it's just helping them to shine a light on themselves and believe in themselves and have that resilience and that self-confidence to go forward and the ability to cope when challenging things happen in their life. So that's kind of been the theme that's come through a lot of the pieces. So I've worked in a lot of personal development programs using the outdoors. And then I think it was when I had my own children that I was looking for an early childhood centre for my son, and I wasn't really happy with what I saw. It was not reflective of my childhood or what I was imagining, the kind of play that they would be engaged in those spaces that I first looked at. I knew about Bush Kindy, so I started a Bush Kindy program as a play group because the legislation prevented me from starting it as I would have liked. But it's been fantastic. So we've been running that for 6 years and we have parents coming along with their children all year round, no matter what the weather, no matter what the season, and they're outside. We have no indoor spaces and we just play in nature. And that's been amazing. Alongside that, I run a lot of teacher development training, and from the Bush Kindy, it's led into training as a peaceful parenting instructor and also a life coach, because I got lots of questions. One of the keen interests for me is child development, so I'd always be sharing information, and it just ended up that that's where I've come on my journey. Yeah.
How fabulous. From discovering that being in nature yourself really supported your growth and development as a young person or child. Put that into experience for your own children, but also other kids within the community. And so you're currently based in Christchurch, is that correct?
Yes.
So that people know. What do you think are some of the challenges or issues or concerns that might be concerning for parents these days in understanding about the importance of outdoors or play itself?
There are a number of different challenges, and I think it depends on the age range of the children or the parents that you're talking to and how old their children are as to what they will kind of say. But when I'm talking to parents, they're telling me that they are either worried about mental health challenges, about anxiety, that they're worried about screens, management of those, and the content that children are engaging with. They are worried about their children being academic enough. And then that's kind of like the opposite of what I'm worried about. I think there's too many academic things and they need to be outside more. But so those are kind of things. And I think that over worry is that parents are wanting their children to grow up and be well in themselves. You know, they just want independent, confident, capable kids who are able to thrive in the world that we have. So, you know, like if I'm to delve, do you want me to delve in a little bit to those areas? Yeah, so internationally, we've seen mental health statistics increase dramatically. Whether that was happening before and we just didn't have the statistics, I'm not sure. But we can see some kind of correlations around the bringing in of screens, especially these smart devices. And I don't think it's necessary the smart devices are all that bad in saying that, but it's sometimes the content or the amount of time, especially if we're to think about a child, like a young preschool child who is growing their brain, you know, that's really important time in their development for them to engage in schema. So schema, for those who are listening and not sure what they are repeated patterns of behavior that children engage in that help them learn about the world. For example, jumping is a schema. A child doesn't just suddenly learn to jump like that. There's a big process that goes on. And so schema are the development stages of jumping or the other things. And children repeat those things and try until they master them, and then they extend themselves. But if children are spending more time on screens, then they're spending less time developing those schema in the early years. So it's just taking away from that core development time. And I read a guy the other day, he's got a blog, well, he's got a website called Project Reboot. His name's Dino. He's from America and he's over here in New Zealand at the moment doing some presentations. He was an addicted teen to screens and he's kind of worked on a program of how we can remove some of that unproductive time from our lives. It's just kind of interesting looking at that from a developmental perspective, that it's, you know, we can use screens well, but we need to think about when we are using those. And as parents, we didn't really grow up with those kind of screens. Like, well, for my age range, we didn't have them, so we don't really know the impact. And we don't quite know, the data isn't really clear on that for us yet either. We have our ideas of what that might look like, and we are seeing anxiety, but it's, yeah, some of it's not totally linked. But anyway, I think just balancing that out, we need to be able to be growing those brains. If we don't set a good foundation for those play experiences when we're younger, and children learn all those schema through play, if we don't have those good experiences, then it doesn't always catch up that well, because when they go into school, they don't have as much playtime as they did in early childhood. So it's just something that kind of lags a little bit through life.
So tell me, what does playing in nature do that perhaps playing in an ordinary space or inside space, I should say, does? What's the difference?
Yeah. And I will say, just first on, inside play is still, you know, great. There are absolutely, play in general is beneficial. But when we move outdoors, there's some things we just can't replicate in an indoor environment. When we are outdoors, the kind, like risky play is a really core element of child development. Risky play helps children to learn about themselves, their own comfort zones, or teaches them how their body responds when they are challenging themselves and what's normal and what's going too far outside their comfort zone. It's around that gross motor development that is harder to get in an indoor environment as children get older. The social dynamics are amazing in an outdoor environment, because you've got a lot of what we call loose parts. And so nature provides these elements that can become anything that the child's imagination can create. So a stick can become a wand, it can become a steering device, it can become a sword, it can become the side of a hut that they're building. So the imagination is extended incredibly in that space. Through that, there are the social, you know, dynamics, and there's a lot of problem solving with that. There can be conflict, which is actually really important. Children need to engage in having, you know, difficult conversations. Sometimes we have to scaffold that and coach through that. But generally, when the children are, you know, are at a stage where they can master that themselves, it's really cool to watch them master that. The other cool thing about nature is that there's research suggesting that just 20 minutes outdoors helps regulate our emotions. So it helps calm our bodies. So when we're outdoors, it can just be a space for children who perhaps might have some sensory processing differences, or who have some neurodiversity. that's going to be a space that often calms and regulates easier than an indoor space with loud noises. The other element is that just from a sensory perspective, that's how we first learn. And so it's a great place coming in. The touch, the smells that we get outdoors are just are really great for our sensory input and development in that space as well. I could probably go on a lot, but...
Oh, I can hear that there are a lot of really useful benefits for play itself, but also for play outdoors that that our children may not be able to easily access. So do you think some of the concerns parents might have about allowing their children to play outdoors?
Yeah, so some of the concerns are, especially if we're talking about our houses, some of the concerns are, okay, well, I might not have a big backyard these days because we live in a different kind of society. So letting them out on the street, well, that sounds dangerous. That sounds risky. And in some cases, it will be quite dangerous, especially with the speed of cars, the size of the vehicles that we have these days. So there definitely are some challenges. However, in New Zealand, we're quite lucky. We have a lot of parks, and our councils are really good at mapping that out and going, right, and I think in Christchurch, it shouldn't be more than 800 to 900 metres from a green space. So that's pretty good when we're thinking about that. So, you know, if we're worried about our children playing out on the street, yep, you've got green spaces locally. Other things parents are worried about is like the academics for primary age children, that they're not, you know, they need to be focused on that work. Another big challenge, which, yeah, reflects on a lot of families, is that both parents are working. And so after school, they actually have to put them in some kind of structured program, like an after-school care program. And so it might not be focused on child-led free play. Now, there is a difference. I think this is important to understand. Sport is, yes, it's we say we're playing sport, but there are still rules and things that we have to do and follow when we play sport. And that's great for our physical health and development. But child-led play outdoors is about the child having autonomy over what they're doing. And that's really important. And that's one of the key kind of things that help with the improving mental health. So I think a lot of parents find it challenging letting their children go off and play. Our parenting has changed over the decades. I think my parents were, get outside, go away. Whereas our parenting today, there is a lot more, you know, helicopter parenting or really hands-on parenting, which is great for some of that sometimes because that's building those strong dyad relationships. And as you know, that having a really strong relationship with an adult is a really key protective factor for resilience. So that's great. However, it can go beyond. It can prevent children from experiencing failure. Failure is really important. Children need to make mistakes and they need to learn from them. Instead, if we've got parents who are picking those children up or preventing that kind of failure from happening, the children aren't learning how to deal with that. And that's an impact on their resilience.
And I think also I've heard that it's also an impact on their later mental health as well, because I guess you were talking about the idea of scaffolding your learning and that if you are creating a safe place fail and you can do that many times and practice that actually you'll survive that and it'll be all right, then bigger things that you might not do and accomplish really well, and especially the perfectionism that we're being required to live, you know, that space nowadays. So I can see all of these fabulous learning opportunities that happen because children are playing in the nature environment. How do parents access resources and know where to go within their own communities?
How do they know where to access resources? I guess some communities here in New Zealand are running nature play sessions. So there are parent-led nature play sessions around the country. Sometimes it can be hard to find, but generally Facebook is a great place to search for your local area or ask in a community group a Zero Nature Place group. If not, I recommend, you know, heading to somewhere like play centres. Play centres, if you've got early childhood children, a lot of them are running nature-based programs. And you can ask them if they are, and if they aren't, find one that is. You can also connect with local parents, you know, say, hey, who wants to meet up at the park? You know, just meeting up at the park, but rather than going to the playground, go to a little kind of tree area or a bushed area that the children can go and play and explore. So it's that kind of thing. That's one type of resource. As far as educating ourselves on the benefits, you know, I've got a lot of blog posts on my website, which kind of just go into what schema are, what the benefits are, what loose parts are, risky play, all those kind of things, and how nature supports us developmentally. So there's that kind of thing. And then I guess there's online courses. You know, I've got teacher training and parent training courses and coaching. You know, that's always important. But I think that one thing is find a family who are really into going outdoors and connect with them. Like if that's not your comfortable place, find someone who is comfortable and go out with them, because then they'll be able to help support you and your children. Sometimes find it easier when they're with other children in an outdoor environment. So yeah, that's my wee tips.
Thank you. And so thinking about if somebody's listening to this and it's a nice day today, or it's a horrible day today where people are, and they're thinking, I want to have a try of this, but they're both a little bit nervous. What's your kind of two top tips to help parents to feel okay?
Parents, I think it's, that's actually a tricky question, because I'm kind of going into little details about individual parents. So I'll step back a sec. I think my tips are just go there and maybe help set a wee boundary if you're feeling nervous, because sometimes the nervousness is that, oh, my child will get harmed or something's going to happen. So talk to your children. Okay, we're going to come and play here. Where can we play in this space? Help set a boundary, get them to agree to that. Second thing is, if your child hasn't had much experience in this kind of play, you will have to do that scaffolding. You might have to come alongside them and help them start. But when they start taking over, just kind of step back. It doesn't have to be literally step back, but just stop engaging and just sit there and be with your child until they feel comfortable. And eventually there'll be a time when you can step right back literally, and your child will just look to you from time to time to be that safe person that's there, but they will be engaging in that play themselves. So scaffold it through if they need it, and set a wee boundary for your own comfort when you're outdoors.
Yeah, I was also thinking that we have lots of beaches around too, don't we? And so children often love exploring in pools and rivers and lakes and thinking about that. And so it's about finding those places. And what about clothing?
Yeah, I have a blog post that I talk about clothing, because often we actually dress our kids really well. Like, we're quite good at knowing that we need to get wool on them. For a majority of people, we can get that quite affordably. You know, yes, you can buy it in the shops new, but a lot of our secondhand clothing shops have great merino and thermal products for a really affordable price. So please go to those. Also over trousers and gumboots. Gumboots in the South Island can be quite cold in the middle of winter, especially when you've got frost temperatures. So I sometimes put sheepskin in the bottom of gumboots, or some cell foam matting. You know, the old camp rolls that they're kind of, cell foam. Getting that in the bottom of a gumboot will just help children keep their feet warm. The main challenge is actually parents not dressing appropriately. So they will get their kids dressed, they'll go outside in winter, and then they'll get cold and they'll stop the play. And that is the biggest problem. So jeans, they don't really work. Put some thermals on. If you have some old ski pants somewhere from whenever, or if you have track pants, you know, put them on top of some thermals yourself. Puffy jackets are quite good. They might not be a good fashion item, but they are, you know, they keep us warm and they protect us from wind. Because the thing is, children, when they are playing outdoors, they're still moving around a lot. They're smaller. Their movement and their heart rate is up a lot higher. Whereas adults, we're often standing around or moving slower, so we're not generating that blood flow to heat us up well. So just making sure we have the right clothing on.
And so I you often hear parents talking about particularly young boys who are running around all over the place, and they light their bed, like the t-shirts, and parents are sitting there shivering away. And and so understanding the kind of body science of that helps us not to worry. It's probably are not actually cold or being subjected to any harm because of that.
Yeah, and like there's controversial, I've had controversial discussions about this topic. If we were to look over to some of the American states where they get huge amounts of snow, like that, you can't have a kid going outside in those kind of conditions with just a t-shirt on. That's just, you know, that's not going to work. Here, for a lot of our country, it doesn't get super cold in the winter, so that will be fine. And saying that, children can, they don't really understand their body regulation till around that kind of six-ish to 7 years old from a science perspective. But some children can learn that earlier if they're given the opportunity. One thing I often do is I just feel down the back, and if they're warm, when I put my hand just on that upper back there, I'm kind of okay about that. If they're feeling a little bit cold, or, you know, there's some blueness, I will encourage another layer. And I think parents sometimes try and force the children to put clothes on, and they are really hot. You can just see they're flushed and they're really hot. And then that is a problem as far as the child's autonomy, not being able to trust what their body is telling them, that they're hot. Mm. But we do need to manage that, because some children can't manage that themselves. So you might have to put something on, but...
Mm. And so the other side of that, I guess, is food, and about, you know, how do you manage food when you're outdoor playing and it's child-centered play? You know, what's the deal around that?
Normal, same as inside, I think. Lunch boxes are great. We often have picnics outdoors. So if you're going out in winter, the ground's often going to be wet, so having some kind of mat that you can put down, or some seats that are there that you can use, a picnic table, and just having lunch boxes is great. I always carry like a backpack. If it's a nice kind of sunny-ish day, even though it's in the winter, because often we're, you know, the challenges are winter, it's not so much the challenges are in summer. But yeah, I'll just have a backpack with food, and the children can just come to me when they need it, or we have a set time. Some people might do it that if it's maybe a rainy day, you might kind of go out and play in the rain and then come back to the car boot. And I often undress the kids in the boot, have a wee tub for the wet gear, throw that in, have a bag of the dry gear, put that on, then they sit down and have their kai in the boot while I stand in the rain. So yeah, just there's a bit of preparation, I think, for winter outdoor play, and it's just having those extra layers and warm clothes to get into afterwards. I always assume my kids are going to get wet or muddy. I think that's a really good assumption.
Nice.
And they will be okay. Just remember, like we talk, oh, what if they get hypothermia? We are close, you're often close to a vehicle, you're close to a building. They're not going to get hypothermia unless you stay there for like a very long time. But, you know, in the middle of winter, we might be talking about 1 to 2 hours. And they're running around, you'll be okay.
I can remember going to visit as a very little girl with another family, and there must have been 8 or so kids, I guess, together, two families, and we must have been very, very rowdy. And the mum said, okay, everybody strip off into your undies and go outside. It was pouring with rain. And she sent us outside, and we all got completely drenched. And I can still remember this. Day. And then she had this really hot, lovely bath for us to climb into.
Oh, how nice.
It was such a gorgeous, and we felt so naughty running around undies back in those days.
But you remember that, and that's the thing, like we don't necessarily remember the day that we watched this on TV, but we remember those adventures that we have outdoors. You know, when you talk to kids or adults, those are the memories they have. Oh, we built this dam in the creek and then it burst, or we built this hut and we had a fort and we had another team over there and we beat them. You know, like it's all those kind of moments. Or even on school camp, I remember one year when it rained, you remember how hard that was, but that you survived. And I think that's it. It's giving your kids, I say mini adventures, and I think that's a really cool way to say it, going on mini adventures with your kids outdoors.
Well, thank you, Celia, so much for your time. And I want people to know that you have a website, which is Little Kiwis Nature Play, so people can jump on that, and that you're available for all those lovely opportunities for reading your material, but also specific training that you might be able to offer as well. And I guess that people can just be in contact with you for more information if they need to. But
absolutely.
Lovely to have you on today, and thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it a lot.
Thanks so much, Madeline. Great to chat.